But this was the day that we heard the news of the destruction of San Francisco and the San Joaquin Valley. I thought he would give us a pep talk. After all, even a civilian ought to be able to figure it out now. The bugs or us. Fight or die. Major Reed didn't mention San Francisco. He had one of us apes summarize the negotiated Treaty of New Delhi, discuss how it ignored prisoners of war, and by implication dropped the subject forever. The armistice became a stalemate, and prisoners stayed where they were, on one side. On the other side, they were turned loose, and during the disorders, made their way home. Or not, if they didn't want to. Major Reed's victim summed up the unreleased prisoners, survivors of two divisions of British paratroopers, some thousands of civilians, captured mostly in Japan, the Philippines, and Russia, and sentenced for political crimes. Besides that, there were many other military prisoners, Major Reed's victim went on, captured during and before the war. There were rumors that some had been captured in an earlier war and never released. The total of unreleased prisoners was never known. The best estimates placed the number around 65,000.
Why the best?
That's the estimate in the textbook, sir.
Please be precise in your language. Was the number greater or less than 100,000?
I don't know, sir.
And nobody else knows. Was it greater than 1,000?
Probably, sir, almost certainly.
Utterly certain, because more than that eventually escaped, found their ways home, were tallied by name. I see you did not read your lesson carefully. Mr. Rico.
Now I am the victim.
Yes, sir?
Are 1,000 unreleased prisoners sufficient reason to start or resume a war? Bear in mind that millions of innocent people may die, almost certainly will die, if war is started or resumed.
I didn't hesitate.
Yes, sir, more than enough reason.
More than enough. Very well. Is one prisoner unreleased by the enemy enough reason to start or resume a war?
I hesitated. I knew the MI answer, but I didn't think that was the one he wanted. He said sharply,
"Come, come, mister, we have an upper limit of 1,000. I invited you to consider a lower limit of 1. But you can't pay a promissory note which reads, somewhere between 1 and 1,000 pounds. And starting a war is much more serious than paying a trifle of money. Wouldn't it be criminal to endanger a country, two countries, in fact, to save one man, especially as he may not deserve it? Or may die in the meantime? Thousands of people get killed every day in accidents, so why hesitate over one man? Answer. Answer yes or answer no. You're holding up the class.
He got my goat. I gave him the cap trooper's answer.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what?
It doesn't matter whether it's 1,000 or just 1, sir. You fight.
Aha. The number of prisoners is irrelevant.
Good.
Now, prove your answer.
I was stuck. I knew it was the right answer, but I didn't know why. He kept hounding me.
Speak up, Mr. Rico. This is an exact science. You have made a mathematical statement. You must give proof. Someone may claim that you have asserted by analogy that one potato is worth the same price, no more, no less, as 1,000 potatoes. No?
No, sir.
Why not? Prove it.
Men are not potatoes.
Good, good, Mr. Rico. I think we have strained your tired brain enough for one day. Bring to class tomorrow a written proof, in symbolic logic, of your answer to my original question. I'll give you a hint. See reference 7 in today's chapter. Mr. Solomon, how did the present political organization evolve out of the disorders, and what is its moral justification?
This ends.